نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز، وأستعيذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وما تفعلوا من خير فإن الله به عليم. وقال: ويا قوم أوفوا المكيال والميزان بالقسط ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين. وقال: ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون. ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم. وقال: إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له ولا دين لمن لا عهد له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us a deen which guides us in every aspect of our life. It guides us from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to sleep. It guides us in our ibadat, our worship, our muamalat, meaning our dealings with people, and our akhlaqiyat, our manners, and all forms and all aspects of our life are catered for in this beautiful religion of ours. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed this very famous verse which we hear time and again to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the moment of Khutbatul Wada', the Hajjatul Wada', in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa akmaltu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam madina. Today I have completed for you your religion, and I have completed for you my blessing, and I have chosen Islam for you as a religion, as a deen. Now many of us, we tend to limit our Islam to what we do in the boundaries of the masjid, or what we do at a specific time of the year, in the month of Ramadan. Or we limit our Islam to the five pillars of Islam. Anything other than that, it does not come into the category of Islam. And when we understand Islam that way, then we have a severe misconception, and this misconception leads us to do things that are un-Islamic, which we are sometimes aware of, sometimes unaware of. And amongst those things is our financial dealings, which inshallah we're going to talk about today. The importance of dealing with our finances, our business transactions, and so on and so forth, our contracts, in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not come out and transgress the boundaries of Sharia and Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ. Any type of khayr that you do, any type of goodness that you do, any type of good dealing that you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. It's mentioned in Surah An-Nur about those people that do not let their tijarah, that do not let their business make them ignorant of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. In the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in even the people's houses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered that His name be mentioned and elevated and raised, His dhikr be done. There are people that do not let their tijara, their business and their work make them ignorant of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in establishing the salat and giving the zakah. Because they are aware and fear the day of judgment in which they will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer for their deeds. So our transactions, our business dealings, should not be ignorant, should not have the ignorance, it should not be far, it should not be devoid of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how Shu'aib alayhi salam addressed his people who were businessmen, and they used to cheat people by fooling with the measurements of weights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how he addressed his people and said, Ya qawm, O my people, awful mikyal wal mizana bil qist, complete the measurements and the weights with justice. Wala tabkhasun nas ashya'ahum. Don't cheat people from their things that they're trying to buy or trying to sell. And as we know, when these people rejected this call of Shu'aib alayhi salam for them not to cheat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them with a direct punishment. In Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right from the very beginning of the surah, declares, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Destruction is for those people who cheat. Destruction is for those people who cheat. What is the description of those people who are the mutaffifin? الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When it comes their time to get their share of the trade, they want to make sure that they get their fair share. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when it comes to the share of other people, and dealing with other people, and making sure that the opposite party gets their fair share, then يُخْسِرُونَ. They make sure that they cheat the opposite party. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them and says, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُثُونَ. Do these people not realize that they're going to be resurrected one day? They're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. On a big day. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On the day when people will stand in front of the Lord of the worlds. So it's just not an issue of having all of this money and this, you know, anything that we can get our whole hands on without thinking of the consequences of what will happen if we are cheating people and if we are not dealing with people in a fair way. The result is going to be very detrimental to our akhirah and our hereafter. So we should not just think of it as something minimal and something that everybody does, and if I don't do it, then I cannot let my business succeed. It is something that we have to understand, that if we are honest in our dealings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put so much barakah in that money and that wealth that we earn in an honest way, that it will have more effect than that thing which is earned out of cheating. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how Shu'aib alayhi salam told the people, بَقِيَّةُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. That baqiyah, that remaining amount that is done with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's awareness, with honesty, that is better for you. If only you knew, if only you had iman. Also in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. O people of Iman, don't consume other people's wealth in a batil fashion, in a wrong fashion, which you've attained by cheating people, except if you have done it in a business which has been mutually agreed upon. Taradhi minkum, there is taradhi on both sides. From the buyer and the seller, both are satisfied. So this ayah is very, very clear again in making sure that number one, the businessman's rights are not basically put away, or you know, they're taken advantage of, and the consumers are not taken advantage of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in another verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you that you should give the trusts back to the people, the owners of those trusts. If somebody entrusts you with something, if somebody entrusts you with a contract, if somebody entrusts you with a promise, you fulfill that amana. We tend to limit the meaning of amana, trust, with something that somebody gives us and we have to return it back to them. But the amana is much more than that. To fulfill a contract is an amana. To fulfill a promise is an amana. To be a good Muslim is an amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on our shoulders. This is the biggest amana. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us that we should fulfill the amanat back to their owners. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And when you judge between the people, you should judge with adl, with justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ. It's a good thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising you to do. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Sami'. He hears everything and He sees everything. And one of the descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes of the people of Iman In the very famous verses at the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Indeed, the mu'mineen have become successful, those people who have khushu' in their salat. And after that, a few verses later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one of the qualities of the people of Iman, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ Those people who are taking care of their amanat, their trusts, and their promises and their contracts. Going to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له ولا دين لمن لا عهد له لا إيمان There is no iman. This la, at the beginning of this sentence, is a very powerful la. In Arabic it's called la li nafi al jins, and basically negates everything that comes after that. It's the same la that we have in la ilaha illallah. There is no God except Allah. Prophet ﷺ said, La imana. There is no iman. None whatsoever. For that person who does not have amana. The person who you entrust somebody with something, he doesn't come through with that trust, that person does not have iman. And on top of that, La deena liman la ahdala. The person who does not fulfill his promises and his contracts, he doesn't have any deen in him. The same la is used here. La deena. There is no deen for that person who does not fulfill his promises. So we need to think very, very carefully about our financial dealings. It's not good enough to just say that I am praying my salat and I'm giving my zakat and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and my dealings with people are not up to par with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants. On top of that, the very famous hadith that we hear all the time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ayatul munafiqi thalathun. The signs of a hypocrite are three. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ When he talks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ When he makes a promise, he breaks that promise. وَإِذَا أَتُمِنَ خَانْ When he is entrusted with something, he breaches that trust. The sign of a hypocrite. Hypocrite meaning the person who outwardly displays Islam and Iman, but inwardly he is hollow. He doesn't have anything inside. He doesn't have Iman inside. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you want to recognize a munafiq, then he will have these three qualities within him. The Prophet ﷺ once addressed the Sahaba, and he asked them, as he used to ask questions just to make them pay attention. He said, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ Do you know what a muflis is? And according to their capacity of understanding, they responded with what they thought a muflis was. Muflis means a person who is penniless, doesn't have any money. So, they said, الْمُفْلِسُ فِينَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمَ لَهُ وَلَا مَتَاعٍ The muflis amongst us is that person who doesn't have any dirhams. He doesn't have any goods. He doesn't have anything to benefit him with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded and said, إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِصِيَامٍ وَصَلَاةٍ وَزَكَاةٍ وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقْضَى مَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْخَطَايَا أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ فَطُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ طُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام He said, the muflis in my ummah will be those people who are going to come with mountains of deeds, many salat, many zakat, many good deeds that they will have done in the worldly life. But their dealings with people were not right. He would have cursed one person, sworn at one person, and accused and slandered somebody else, eaten somebody's wealth here, and shed somebody else's blood on the other side. So what is going to happen? All of those hasanat that he came with, all of the deeds that he came with, they're going to be taken from him and distributed amongst these people that stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complain about the way he dealt with them. His hasanat are going to be distributed amongst those people that come with these accusations against him. To a degree that all of his hasanat will finish. All of his good deeds will finish. And then those people, they're going to say that we are still waiting in line. So their sayyi'at, their misdeeds, their sins are going to be put on top of his head. He came with mountains of good deeds and he's going to end up with mountains of bad deeds. They're going to be put on his head and then he's going to be thrown into the hellfire. It is so important to understand the different forms of ibadat. Some of the ibadat are related to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are huququllah, which we, you know, generally term as ibadat, salat and zakat, the fasting and so on and so forth. These are worships for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are huququl ibad, the rights of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy can forgive His own huquq. He can forgive a person who did not pray his salat. He can forgive a person who didn't fast. He can forgive a person who didn't do the hajj. But He will not forgive the huquq of ibad. That exchange and that interaction will take place on the Day of Judgment and nobody will refuse anything that comes to them on that day. Nobody will refuse anything that will come to them on that day. Because they know that if their hasanat are falling short, where they're going to end up. So everybody will be trying their best to get what they can. Even if it's from blood relatives. Even if it's from blood relatives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'arij, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. On that day the criminal, he will want to give everybody in ransom. He will want to give his wife, his kids, his relatives, and everybody on the earth. وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Everybody on the earth, ثُمَّ يُنْجِي, and he will want to save himself by doing that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا لَضَى. It's not going to happen. You can do whatever you like, but it's not going to happen. So if you can imagine that every person will be wanting as many hasanat as possible, are they going to forgive anybody that has wronged them in this world? Nobody is going to do that. So that's why it's so important that when we are dealing with people, we make sure that we are very, very honest, very, very straightforward, and we take account of every single penny that we are making, make sure that we are not cheating other people. The last hadith that I want to talk about, again, the same kind of concept. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُسْلِمِ. Do you know what a Muslim is? The Sahabas, they said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Allah and His Prophet, they know the best. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. A Muslim is the one from whom all other Muslims are saved from the harms of his hand and his tongue. So our hand, our tongue, if it is not harming anybody, if other Muslims are saved from the evils of our hands and our tongue, and we should look deep into our hearts whether we are harming anybody or hurting anybody or saying bad about anybody with our hands and our tongue, then we are Muslims. If there is nobody, if there's nobody that we've hurt with our hands and tongue, then we're Muslims. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Atadruna man al-mu'min?" Do you know who is a mu'min? They replied again, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. He replied, "Man aminahu mu'minuna ala anfusihim wa amwalihim." He is that person, a mu'min is that person, that other people trust him with their wealth and with themselves. They trust him with their wealth and with themselves. So basically, other people's judgments about us classify us whether we are mu'min or not, whether we have iman or not. Again, we can look deep down into our hearts and think that in our lives, how many people have we wronged and how many trusts have we breached, how many contracts have we broken, how many people have we hurt. And then we can ask ourselves the question after that, can I classify myself as a mu'min when other people cannot trust me with their wealth and themselves? And there are so many things, so many guidelines that we need to follow in terms of our dealings. And I'll just hit upon one very, very important point. The important point of making sure that we write everything down and get everything into a contract. Many of us feel, oh, he's a Muslim brother, you know, I cannot, you know, push him to write a contract for me because he might think that I don't trust him or something like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. تَعَاشَرُوا كَالْإِخْوَانِ وَتَعَامَلُوا كَالْأَجَانِبِ. Live amongst yourselves as brothers. Love each other. Show affection to each other. Just like brothers. وَتَعَامَلُوا كَالْأَجَانِبِ. But deal with each other as if you are strangers. Somebody just comes out of the blue and knocks on our house and asks us for a loan. Are we going to just loan him money without any kind of reference or paperwork or something like this? It's not going to happen. So the same thing, whether you know that person well, whether you don't know him well, whether you trust him, make sure that everything is written down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the way to do that in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَاكْتُبُوا. If you are making any type of dain, and the scholars have distributed, there are 30 kinds of transactions which fit into this ayah. 30 kinds of dealings which could fit into this rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put for us of writing everything down. 30 types of contracts. So we should write everything down and have everything written with witnesses and so on and so forth to make sure that there's no misunderstandings. Sometimes the brothers, when they are talking, there is a real misunderstanding, a genuine misunderstanding, which results in problems later on. And the way to avoid that is to make sure that everything is written down in black and white so that there is no room for error later on. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Just a couple of announcements. As we know, tomorrow is the fundraising dinner for the Islamic School of Irving. You know that we rely on the community to support the school, and we always have a shortfall. The school is never covered just by the tuitions and the money coming in from the students. So the annual fundraising, inshallah, is going to take place tomorrow at the Doubletree Hotel. Please try to come. As we say, there's strength in numbers. We should try to participate, even if we have no intention of donating. Just come, inshallah. Your presence will be highly appreciated. That's going to take place tomorrow at the Doubletree Hotel on 635 and Midway. So we have to take the Midway exit, and it's on the left hand side. The other announcement is a very important announcement also, is that there are some people in the local city council who are trying to push for some laws to allow policemen, the Irving Police Department, to basically search us in a way that the immigration people would search us, basically ask us for immigration papers and so on and so forth. So there is a push for this, and a petition is being signed by people to make this happen. So, you know, it's going to make life much difficult for us. Even if we are legal in this country, even if we have our paperwork and everything is straight, it's just going to make life difficult for us if we ever stop by the police. So just to prevent that from happening, there's a petition that Irving residents are asked to sign. And there's the desk outside. There is a couple of desks upstairs for the sisters also. And there are desks downstairs. If you're an Irving resident, please make sure that you sign that on your way out so that this law doesn't pass. Jazakumullah khairan. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim.